I was reflecting this morning on how long this last week has been, which is odd for me. Well, it's odd for everybody. Weeks are weeks. I mean, there's 168 hours in my week, just like yours, and nobody gets anything different. But I had this feeling that I hadn't been here for a couple weeks, and I realized that last week was just filled with things. So if I seem like I'm unusually happy to see you, that's why. Because it feels like I've been gone for a couple of weeks for whatever reason. And as I was thinking about what we should look at in this week's lectionary texts, I have this feeling, and I don't know if it's the same for you or if you feel anything similar to it, but because I'm on this side of choosing what we do, I sometimes think, well, I talked about that last time, and nobody wants to hear that again. Forgetting sometimes that last time was 3 years ago, and I think I'm really, well, if I live in a world in which people remember everything I said 3 years ago, I think I've got some arrogance issues that I need to deal with. And perhaps the larger question is, how do I listen carefully to what the Holy Spirit has for us? And if the Holy Spirit says, no, you should talk about that, in this case, parable again, I should pay attention to that. Not because I don't think you got it last time, because that's certainly not the case. But sometimes we revisit things that we've talked about before. As I've said many times, that's why we have Trinity Sunday every year. That's why we talk about the Ascension every year and Transfiguration every year, because these are really important things. And every year, even if we talk about them more or less in the same way, we still learn new things. That's the wonder of our ability to learn new things from the familiar is something that we just can't take for granted. I mean, I learn new things about God through the children that I've had for 17 or 7 years, depending on which child I'm looking at, on an ongoing basis. The Scripture is filled with that same ability to grant us insights into who God is, who we are, how we interact with the world, even in its most familiar passages. And so this morning we're going to go back to the parable that Jesus tells in Matthew. And the sermon title is, What Do I Know About Sowing? Because, well, what do I know about sowing? Not only am I not a farmer, I'm not even a gardener. I was the most reluctant of gardeners when my mother could force me to do it. And Heather enjoys it to a certain extent and doesn't need me there to make it better. So I don't know anything about sowing, really, other than the most theoretical way. But I look at this passage, and the first thing that strikes me every time I see it is just the profligacy of this person sowing seed. I mean, I have put grass seed down, and that's about the limit of sort of a broadcasting kind of thing, because obviously this isn't the same as how I was forced to plant carrots and peas and things, drawing the little trench there that couldn't be too deep, but just deep enough, and the seeds not too close together, but not too far apart. Oh, it was so complicated when I was small. And now I think, oh, you have no idea what complication might mean. But I have sown grass seed. And, you know, I'm not especially cautious or careful as a human being, but I'm quite certain when I'm sowing grass seed, I've never just taken some and thrown some on the sidewalk. The seed goes on the dirt. It goes where it belongs. And I'm quite sure I didn't throw it where I knew there were weeds, and I'm quite sure I didn't throw it where there's a bunch of rocks that I could see or anything else. And so when I look at this, I think of this farmer who went to sow his seed, and I think, well, what's wrong with you? Why are you throwing it where it's not going to work? Like, that doesn't make any sense to me. And maybe farming was different back then, and maybe this is just part of the way it works, but that's what strikes me when I read this. And part of me instantly says, well, this is wasteful. Like, why would you do that? And then I take a step back and try and see what Jesus is trying to get at when he tells the parable. And we know what some of it's about because he interprets it. Like, he actually says, this is what I mean. This is what these various parts of the parable are. That when anyone hears the message and doesn't understand it, the evil one comes and snatches it away. That's just like seed that's thrown on the sidewalk, thrown on a path. There's nothing that can happen with it there. It can't grow. Birds come and steal it. This isn't part of This isn't a parable relating to God caring for each sparrow by putting seed out there. I mean, parables tend to have a very narrow focus. So Jesus explains it to them, and he explains what each of these seed results means. And if we like, we could leave it at that, and many people have. And when I grew up, the general interpretation of this parable was make sure that you're not seed fallen on the ground or on the path, that you're not seed that fell into the weeds and those things. And there's nothing particularly wrong with that interpretation, but I'm not so sure it's all that right either. Because seed doesn't choose where it goes. As I said, I'm not a farmer and I'm not much of a gardener and all of that, but I never had a seed talk back to me. I never had a seed say, no, not here, you ninny. There's a weed next to me. It's just, you know, seed is seed. It goes where it goes. And when I started looking at this passage, at this parable, from that perspective, it opened up this new way of thinking. And I'm quite sure we've talked about this before. But it opens up a new way of thinking to us. And what it opens our eyes to is the liberality of God. That God, who knows everything and has known everything from the beginning, our beginning, not his, he doesn't have a beginning. God, who knows the end from the beginning, still just takes seed and throws it everywhere. There's seed everywhere. There's options for a connection with God everywhere. When we look at this parable, we see someone sowing seed in such a way that any possible place where it can grow is going to get seed in it, which is a different way of looking at it. This isn't a careless farmer. This is a farmer who's doing everything possible to make sure that every bit of good ground gets seed on it. And that changes how I look at the parable entirely. See, when I grew up, we tended to think, or at least this is what I took from the sermons I heard and from the Sunday school lessons I heard about this, that we were somehow responsible to make sure that we were where we were supposed to be, that we were in the good ground. And you can draw that conclusion. It's not a bad conclusion. It's not completely erroneous, because there are things where Jesus says the one who received the seed that fell on rocky places is the man who hears the word at once and receives it with joy, but has no root, so he lasts only a short time. The one who received the seed that fell among the thorns is the one who hears the word, but the worries of his life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke it out, making it unfruitful. And so there is a certain amount of responsibility in there for us to do what we can, because we need to step away from the worries of the life that, or worries of this life that might choke the seed of faith within us. But we still need to come back again and again to the fact that Jesus, God's the one that threw the seed there. And parables, much like analogies, break down at some point because they have to. You know, no matter how careful you choose your analogy, it's not exactly the same, or it wouldn't be an analogy, it would be exactly the same. And here, I think we want to be careful that we don't look at this parable, as I did when I was younger, as an opportunity to pronounce judgment on other people or make predictions about their eventual success because, oh, that person, they're rich. They're going to have all these worries about life. Oh, that person, they're not very bright. They won't have much of a root. They're going to wither when the sun comes up. That's not my responsibility. I'm not the one who put the seed there. I'm not the one who has anything to do with the eventual success of the seed. That belongs to the sower. Those of us who were blessed to land in good dirt, where there aren't any rocks, where there aren't any weeds right next to us, those of us who were given that as a gift from God need to rejoice in it as a gift from God, period. We need to enjoy the fact that we have been put in a position where perhaps we might produce 100-fold or 60 or 30 or whatever it is that we produce, period. Because even if we can get past this notion that we can somehow predict how somebody else is going to do with the seed that they are, sometimes we'll sit in there and we'll look and say, well, I might only be producing 60, but she's only producing 30, so I guess I'm the better seed. And that's not what it's about. What this parable does is it reminds us again, in ways that are absolutely unmistakable, that the seed comes from God, the growth is given by God. There's that little proverb, grow where you're planted, which, as so many of those things, on some days I think is trite, cliched, and trivial at best. And other days I think, wait a second, there's really something significant there. I didn't choose what kind of dirt I was going to be or what kind of seed I was going to be. I sort of flip-flop on where I actually fit in this. But one of the things that God can do, in the same way that a really good gardener can, is they can look at the plants in their garden or the plants in their field, and they can say that that plant is too close to a weed. And occasionally we read this parable from a very fatalistic sort of way, and we think, well, that person, you get too much worries about the challenges of life. That must be the kind of dirt they were in. There's nothing we can do about it. We can't help. But if you've ever been around a gardener, like a real gardener, like my mother was and like my mother-in-law is, there's no such thing as a plant you give up on. When Lorraine has a plant that's not growing well, she doesn't go, well, I guess it's the plant's fault. She doesn't even say it's the dirt's fault. She doesn't say there's any fault at all. She says, that plant's not growing well. I wonder what I can do about that. And being the gardener that she is, maybe she digs it up and puts it somewhere else where it might be a little better. She weeds around it. She does everything she can that that plant might be as successful as possible. And if we read this parable as saying that God sends out the seed, and the seed that grows produces fruit and he's happy with that, and the seed that has problems he ignores, we're reading this parable in isolation from everything else in Scripture, which is always dangerous. And if we're going to extend the parable, if we're going to look at it for some of its larger implications, let's not lose sight of the fact that everywhere else, God talks about how he never gives up on his people, how he cares for them, how he heals them, feeds them, gives them water. Sounds like a pretty good gardener to me. One of the things that I seem to know about plants, or what seems to be the case, is plants are a lot like every other living organism. They have good periods and not so good periods. There are times when your plants need a bit more of your attention than other times. And it's the same with us. We can push this parable till it finally breaks into a million pieces. But maybe we should look at it from the perspective of the end result doesn't tell us about what happened in between. We don't know from this parable whether at particular times that seed that produced 100-fold didn't get a little bit of weeding beside it, didn't get a little bit of fertilizer or extra water or extra shade or extra sun or whatever it might have needed. But if we know anything about God, we know that he works really hard at doing everything that we need, that we can be successful, that we can be that plant that produces 100-fold. Sometimes we look at this parable and we say that, well, it's just the way it is. If you're going to be successful in the walk of faith, you better have landed in the right soil. And if you didn't, well, you've been predestined to not be successful from the very beginning. And someday, perhaps, we'll get into predestination and free will and all of that. But not today. Today we're going to say that the person who sows seed never sows it in such a way that they know it won't be successful. And I've never been around anyone who's engaged with the growing of things, that hasn't worked hard to make sure that they grow to the limit that they can. I don't know whether today you're feeling that you're kind of choked by weeds. The week I just had seemed to have quite a few weeds in it that were growing up beside me, getting in my way. Cares of life. So does that mean that last week I was just one of these forgotten seeds? Or does it mean that last week I needed a little bit of weeding and I got it? Made last week seem like a month, but I got the weeding I needed. The parable of the sower is much richer than I thought it was. Not because I just missed things in it, but because I looked at it as if it was this shining jewel that lived in isolation for everything else. And when I started looking at it and reading it from the perspective of everything else I know about God, I began to realize that there are times you may feel that you're seed on the rocky path, and there are times you may feel that you don't have much dirt to grow in, and that you're surrounded by weeds, and you look over there and there's, oh, somebody producing 100-fold at least, maybe even more. But you know you're not abandoned. That the gardener didn't just throw the seed out there and hope for the best. The gardener, the sower, just like every other gardener, keeps an eye on things and continues to work that we might be successful, that we might grow, that we might produce fruit. I could be projecting my own earlier fatalistic interpretation of this parable, and you may be, because you're gracious people doing this on the inside, yeah, of course, how could anybody think anything else? But just in the off chance that I'm not the only one, I thought that's something we should think about today. That God throws his seed out everywhere. That he sows with as much liberality as imaginable, so that everyone has a chance to hear. That everyone has a chance to produce good fruit. And that just because it looks to us like they actually ended up on the path, or with the weeds, or with the rocks, we don't know that. And maybe we're part of helping another seedling out there just like us achieve that fruitfulness of 100-fold or 60 or 30, it really doesn't matter. And maybe we can help those around us who need a little bit of weeding, need a little bit of extra dirt to grow in, through encouragement, through care, through the love that we provide. Everyone out there has the possibility to produce 100-fold. Let's not decide what kind of a plant someone else is. Let's just do everything we can to help us all be as successful, as fruitful as we can be. Amen.